and everybody look at the stick man, and then he whooped on the ball.
If you hit the stick man,
and he in the trench, and they
he run to the pillow. Welcome everybody to the Bob and Katie Show.
I'm Katie,
and I'm Bob. Do you think a large amount of the population, and I'm just talking about United States, not the world, actually have nicknames for their genitalia?
Here in the United States?
The reason I ask is I've been putting a lot of thought recently into how media and stuff kind of affects people. And sometimes, I mean, it's the same thing everybody's been talking about for a while, especially with politics. We're not talking about politics. Like, what I mean is, like, as a kid, I grew up thinking I was going to have a much harder time with quicksand in life, right? Because of movies. Like, I just thought, like, walking around in the woods and stuff, I was randomly going to get trapped by quicksand. But that, you know, obviously, it's never, ever happened. Well, in movies and TV shows and stuff, there's always jokes about people naming their genitalia. And it's not something that I've ever done. And I was just curious, like, is that a thing? Like, I've made jokes before, you know, like, oh, you mean like, you know, little Bob and the Brussels sprouts, but I've never like done it for real. But I've heard people.
So, okay.
Like, make the jokes.
I feel like I'm probably not the expert on this.
You mean you don't have yours named?
I certainly don't have a name for mine. You don't have a name for yours. And it's really never come up in conversation with literally anyone I know. So I'm just going to go with a hard no.
So it must be a dude thing.
So.
Yeah, that's must be a guy thing.
I think
thing.
Maybe you just watch too much TV.
Not anymore, but yeah, you're probably right. Did you think that about quicksand growing up? Did you think you were going to come across quicksand in your life? I don't even know where quicksand is.
I don't know. In the jungle?
I guess. I'm not trying to go to the jungle, though. Ooh.
Or it wouldn't be in the desert, right?
No, because I do remember when I was the first time I was let down about quicksand. Because, like, in the movies, when you go in the quicksand, it's like a slow thing. You know, like, you kind of get, like, dragged down slowly.
I feel like it's usually, like, a jungle.
But,
and somebody's like, here, grab this vine and I'll pull you out.
And I have a whip. And but
I really think this just all points towards you watch too much TV.
That might be what it is.
I think so. All this conversation.
But I think quicksand is really more like water. I don't think it's like it is in the movies. I think like when you walk into quicksand, you like go down in it. But I don't know. I heard someone in the store the other day reference their genitals by a little nickname, and I just remember going, is that for real? Like, is that something people do? Because I've never done it, but I mean, I've seen it in comedies and stuff all the time. It happened in Walmart, but I mean, leave it to Walmart, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe just because it was a public setting, they didn't want to seem vulgar.
Maybe. I don't know the context of the situation. I know there was like six people standing. I remember I got aggravated because I don't understand why people go to Walmart and just stand around and talk like that. That mess, it burns me up, especially now because we just got too many people.
Well,
but let's not burn that again.
I'm a Southern lady, and I'm here to tell you that that's just how it is. You run into someone you know in the grocery store, and it's impolite not to stop and hey. I'm sorry, I had like a burp coming up in my throat. You know, hey, how you doing? How's the family? Whatnot, whatever is relevant at the time. I don't know. It's just how it is.
Oh, man.
Especially here in the South. And now we have so many people. We talk about this all the time now because it's like a really, it's a thing that's affecting our daily lives of those, especially those native to our area. We're, it is. It's a big thing how people-y it is now here suddenly.
I've really tried to change my behavior in public because I know that it's off-putting to some people, and I've heard you have to explain to people before, like, oh no, he's not being mean, that's just who he is. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm walking through Walmart, if someone says something to me, there's a chance I won't even hear them. Like, there's a chance that I won't even hear him. Because I think people have come to you before, right? Like, oh, I tried to say hi to Bob. And it's not an intentional thing. It's just when I'm in Walmart and I'm shopping, my goal is get the Cheetos, get the sour cream, get the lettuce, get out.
And then Katie gets a text.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey. Why was Bob rude to me in the store?
and if I do hear them,
I tried to talk to Bob and he just walked right past me.
If I do hear them,
it's happened so many times in my life.
My response is always
that's
short.
That's something I have to live with.
Like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I don't even stop. Like when someone says something to me, I keep walking. But I mean, I talk to them. I'm like, oh yeah, hey, just. But like, it's definitely like they know that I'm going. You know, but I've tried to tone that back a little bit, because I have no intentions of being rude or mean to people. I'm just, you know, when you're playing sports, if you're running the second, you don't care who's
you're not in the playing way. Baseball in Walmart.
But I mean, that's how I feel. Like, I'm like, gotta go, gotta get this done, gotta win, gotta get out of here. And I'm not trying to hang out.
I understand that.
So
I definitely have moments where I'm kind of in a rush, and then it's like. It can be an inconvenience because, you know, I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to not speak to somebody. But I'll also be honest and be like, oh, I got to get. Usually it's like, I got to go get the kids. And usually like, I do too.
I've been walking through Walmart. This has happened way more than just once. And like, I'll see somebody and I'm like, I don't want to talk to them. And I'll go down an aisle. I don't even need to go down. Just try to circumvent that. Where they're walking, and I'm good at it because I mean that's what I do in my real job is I like, you know, sneak around stores trying to find people doing stuff wrong. So like I know how to maneuver through a store sneakily, especially with somebody my size. But yeah, I've done that before. Like I don't want to talk to them. Like I know they're gonna try to talk to me for a long time. Just get
so
out.
So the moral of the story today is Bob watches a lot of TV and he's a rude behind.
Yeah, I'm not doing it to be mean though. I'm not doing it to be mean. That's not the case. It's just when I'm in a store, I don't want to hang out in Walmart. I don't want to. I don't want to be there.
You don't have to stay all day just like, to be polite and speak to someone.
I don't want to be there at all. When we started being able to do grocery pickups, I was like, this is unbelievable. But I don't know. I guess it's just me, I guess. And it's got nothing to do with anybody else. I just don't want to be there. Like, come talk to me somewhere else. Send me a text. Hit me up on.
I don't think anybody slide in wants my DMs. To be there.
Nobody
in Walmart.
Wants. Some people do. Some people want to be there. Like, I work in a big box, and there are people that just come for no reason. Like, all the time. All the time.
Is it typically, like, younger folks,
no,
older.
It's older people sometimes. So it's the people.
The board.
It's the people that move slow to begin with, and now you're just in here and you have no idea why you're in here. You know, like a very easy example would be, you know, like most of the time older females who are like, you know, I want to do something in the garden, but they don't really know what they want to do, so they'll come to the garden center and just walk around and
browse.
Look. You know, just look.
You got
to
get
things.
Inspiration.
But it's like that, like. Everywhere. And you can tell these people because they're walking slow and their heads just slightly going to the left.
Well, it's
and the
not
right.
their fault. It used to not be so people-y.
Yeah.
And you could take your time and look around, but nowadays there's 15 other people waiting to look where you're looking, so you feel rushed.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. They just got used to a certain way of life.
Ugh. Like, oh, being in a store just makes my, hey, I can't stand it. I hate stores. So, emotionally, it's a pretty big week for you.
Oh, my gosh. Why? Don't make me cry.
We got 2 days of school left.
Like, one and a half. The kids are at school right now.
Is only half a day on
No,
Thursday?
I'm just saying they're part of the way through this one already.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, today and tomorrow, and as Reese chimed in from the bathroom this morning, and then it's his birthday.
Oh, yeah, we got a birthday coming up.
So,
good God
May,
Almighty.
The more years I've been a parent, we're going on 11 now, the more years I've been a parent, the more obvious it has become to me, May is, it's an intense time of...
May's tough.
Like, nobody warned me that May would get so hectic, so busy, so emotional. Like, you kind of know, like, okay, Christmas time is going to be a lot, you know, once you have kids. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you just have a lot going on. It's already a lot, and then...
I don't think it's as hectic as May is, though. Not for us.
But May, oh, so this May in particular has been probably the busiest one of all, namely because of sports. We have three kids that were each on a different team.
Yep.
Both of the boys played baseball on two different teams because they're in different age divisions. And Reagan switched over to play softball. And
I was excited about that.
We did not have softball where the boys play baseball. The park nearest us, so we have to drive about half an hour away to a different place for her to play softball. So three different teams, two different leagues, and like just this past Friday, just a few days ago, we had water day at school, and so of course I volunteered. I was there all day. There were awards going on in classrooms that day. So I was kind of flip-flopping like between water day awards, helping with some stuff in classrooms. We did this fun thing in Reagan and Riley's class, and another class joined in where we had like a knockoff Starbucks, and there were 50 kids in there, and I made little order forms. We had two different drinks, a blue one and a pink one. Starbucks donated cups, and they actually sent a barista out to help us.
How awesome is that?
And she had fun, I think. And so there were three of us. It was the barista and two of us moms.
Did any of the kids like pretend to be moms?
So, well,
you know what I mean? Cause like
they were all very excited when they saw like legit star, like she wore her apron and everything, and then she brought cups and straws and lids, napkins, and they actually brought lemonade too. So they were like, oh my gosh, we get Starbucks. We did not give those kids coffee
or
caffeine, by the way. But we printed out order forms, and we told them that they could not order under their own name.
Oh, they had to make up a
name?
They
had to make up something different. We're like, you have to remember what you write down,
So what's the funniest name that you can remember? Just one. Give me one. You got to pick one. And while you're thinking, big shout out to the Starbucks in Charlotte, North Carolina. So thank you so much for helping
the school. They were so generous. Yeah. They were so generous.
Everybody stop by there and get a coffee or
go thank Christine.
Chocolate.
Give her a high five.
Something. Go buy something. Ooh, get a cake pop.
Man, there were so many. Okay. So this was probably my favorite thing. There were a group of girls, and we ended up we collected all the order forms and just had them, and then we'd make the drink and just call out the name. Okay, and it worked out beautifully because there were three of us just grabbing from a pile. So the lady from Starbucks, she calls out, "I have an order for SpongeBob." And then immediately after that, I look at mine. I said, I have an order for... Patrick. Oh, no. Somebody else, the other mom. She said she had an order for Patrick. And then I make a drink.
Pink one, please.
And it's like a minute or so goes by. And then I pick mine up. I said, and you can't forget Sandy.
Oh, I can't
It was Sandy. So cute. And everybody laughed. Our kids wrote down the weirdest stuff. Reagan wrote down, and they got a kick out of this. It said DG, like the letters, DG, like a Dollar General.
Okay.
DG. And then beside of it, it said, just say the letters.
DG.
And I asked Reagan, I said, what does DG stand for? She goes, I don't know.
What?
Okay, you just like these letters. She said, yeah.
I thought it was going to be like one of them. I thought she was trying to do one of those things where you say it out loud and it sounds different.
Yeah.
No,
she just... Huh. Just her little odd ducks.
Our kids are different,
man. They're little weirdos and I love it.
Our kids are different.
Riley, oh, bless it. He was one of the first ones. And I remember like going, what kid wrote this? And then I found out it was my own.
Of course.
It was like Blood Evolver or something like
that. Oh, Blood Evolver. Yeah, that's from...
Did he get that from that book?
Yeah, that's the book that we're
going through. Was like, where did you come up with this? I was a little concerned, just dawned on me.
That's what it is. It's definitely Blood Evolver.
Okay.
There's this game that they play in that audiobook where your body basically gets in a big tube and it's supposed to be like virtual reality and you have to pick a name, and he's a vampire, but he doesn't want people to know he's a vampire. People can't know he's a vampire, but he picked the name Blood Evolver. But just for fun. But yeah, that's definitely 100% where it came from.
There were several different anime names that I can't really remember, just because I don't watch it or read it or whatever.
He's really getting into reading, like.
Oh yeah.
He's reading all the time.
Yeah, he's even been reading in the car, and I, I don't like for him to do that because Riley gets car sick whenever he reads in the car, and I'm like, Riley, maybe wait till we stop.
Like, obviously, his wisdom about life and, just how to maneuver day to day is not there because he's only 10 years old.
Oh, there's a hummingbird. Oh, it flew away. Sorry.
But stop looking out the window. Pay attention to me.
It was a hummingbird. It was, like, right behind your shoulder. I couldn't miss it.
In my
line of vision.
How crazy would it be if there's a hummingbird in the house? You couldn't get a hummingbird out of the house.
A bird flew into the sanctuary at church on Sunday.
I heard about that.
the double doors, like, you walk down the aisle and go out through double doors. Well, they were propped open at the end of service for everybody to go out, and a bird flew in.
How big was it? It was like a tiny bird? It was like... like a crow?
It was like, maybe like a sparrow or something. Like
a sparrow?
Just, small to medium-ish bird.
Maybe good luck.
But I felt bad for the bird. It was flying around. You could tell it was panicked. It was going on like the windows and the chandelier. It was looking for the light.
Man, we find
it. It did get out, though. We were able to get it out. So thank goodness that bird probably went out and was like, oh my God. Oh my God, that was so scary.
We find dead birds pretty often. At work.
Oh.
Because we sell bird seed.
And
typically it's on the inside of the
store.
They
get in and can't get back out?
No. They know it's in there. And, the doors are automatic and open up, but sometimes they don't realize the doors aren't open, so they fly into the glass.
Oh.
So I found a video that I want you to see. For the listener, for the most part, it's fine because it's the words anyways, that's important. But with the ending of ball, because baseball has been it's been our life for a good 2 months now. Like it's baseball every day. And the boys this year have really, really started to pick up their stride because they've not been great at baseball. They've really, really picked it up this year.
Reese loves it, though.
But for anybody that doesn't play baseball, here's the truth about baseball. It's not like basketball and soccer in the fact that you're constantly moving and running. There's a lot of times in baseball where you're kind of standing still, and that makes it difficult when you're trying to have a team with seven-year-olds, because seven-year-olds don't want to stand still. Right? Like, they don't want to stand. That's why there's always somebody.
There's cool orange dirt to play
in. There's somebody in the outfield doing circles and throwing grass in the air.
I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. If I had to just stand there and wait, I'd want to play in the dirt, too.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd want to be doing the, oh, my God, flossing. They'd be out there flossing.
But... So you have to be real, real smart to play sports in general. But baseball is different. Baseball, the amount of different things that's going on all at one time and who should run where it's a lot. It's a lot. I came across a video of someone from another country that doesn't have baseball, and they were here, and they were trying to experience baseball for the first time.
Like play?
No.
Or watch?
Just watch it.
Okay.
And he did a video just giving his experience trying to learn about baseball.
Okay.
And I brought that here just for you, and I think you're really going to enjoy it.
I'm watching now a little bit your baseball here in America. This game is the most confused game of that I'm knowing. I enjoy football. You say soccer. We have a ball. We have a net. We have a net. Kick in, boom. You kick it. Did ball go in net? Boom, point. We are finished. Next time. Now we go again. Ball, point, boom, net, ball, net, done. Now baseball. Oh, okay. We have some pillows on the dirt, and then we have some grass, and then we have people to stand all around to make a grabbing of the downstairs grab of crouch. Look around. Then man with stick is there.
So I take it that he went to a professional game, you know, like an MLB game, because he's talking about how people are grabbing their crotch and like. Stuff like that. So that's not a kid thing. Like that's,
He's
going to see professionals play.
And then man, look at stick man and look at man with glove and he made like this one. For like, I don't like 1 minute with a man. And then he, boom, he throw a ball to the stick man. And the stick man may hit. If he make a miss of 3 times, then out. But if 4 times, the throw is bad, boom, then he may walk to a pillow. Or if he make a hit of ball and it go to the side of the paints, then it is more hits. But if he...
So, do you know what he's talking about right then?
I love it. Are you talking about foul?
Yeah, like if you can just hit a foul ball 10 times in a row. He's like, why does it keep going? Why does it
hits
keep
and hits and hits.
Hit a ball very far, then he may run on all the pillows, around the pillows. And sometimes someone is stealing the pillows, and sometimes a man is, if you hit a man with a ball, then he may run to the pillows. And many people, the boys in the trench, they sit in the trench.
The dugout.
And they look around, and they... It's a spit, and the hat, and then clap, and spit, and then they run to the field, and then they make a trade in 9 times, but time out on the 7, after 7 times of run on field, everyone sing a song about popcorn, and then they do more.
I'm assuming he's talking about the take me out to the ball game. Like, as a foreigner who's never...
And everybody look at the stick man. And then he fucked up the ball.
If you hit the stick man...
And he in the trench and they...
He run to the pillow.
And then somebody's stealing all the pillows. Oh no! If you hit a home run, you get
hits
to run.
Hits and out. Throws. What? Who's winning? What is occurring?
That's basically it.
What is occurring? I love it so much.
We don't realize it because in America, even if you don't play baseball, even if you've never played baseball, even if you don't watch baseball, most people understand what baseball is, you know, the simple rules of baseball, you know, like, you know.
Well, I mean, think about just in normal everyday conversation, how many baseball references, euphemisms,
sexually,
whatever, are, you know.
People use it sexually.
We use the term, you know, 3 strikes,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Hey, 3 strikes, you're out of here.
All over the place.
Yeah. Like everybody knows, but for someone coming from another country,
like that's that never was seen a home baseball, run. You really knocked it out of the park. Yeah, like we like, use baseball references about? All the time.
Yeah, it's the American pastime.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't understand any of this. Like, this is crazy. Like, we play soccer. We have a net on one side, a net on the other side. You kick the ball in the net, boom, there we go. But it's sometimes I think parents, coaches of little kids don't understand that. You know, like, to these little kids, this can be confusing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you really see that with pop flies on the infield, or, you know, pop flies anywhere. So, if you've got a player on first, you know, a kid's on first base and he knows when they hit the ball, he's got to run the second. What he might not know is if they hit that ball in the air, you can't run. You take like 5 or 6 steps and you wait to see if someone catches it. And if they catch it, then you have to run back, tag up on the pillow, and then you can run to the next pillow. Well, what happens most of the time? The kids just run, right? Because they don't understand it. Like, it's a confusing game to people that don't know how to play it. And I think that was the best representation of anybody that I've ever heard describe baseball that have, you know, ever taken part of it. So I hope you enjoyed that.
I did.
I thought of you as soon as I seen it. I was like, she's going to laugh hard at this. Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatie Show. If you enjoy listening to Bob and Katie, there's a little bit more that you can listen to at Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatie Show. There's going to be a lot of older stuff that you're going to see disappear. We're kind of revamping some things, canceling some stuff that we were doing and starting some new things. But go to Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatie Show to help support this podcast. Which is, man, I was trying to do that PBS thing. What do they say? What do they say? Man. Come on, you can do it.
Something about something.
But viewers like you. Go sign up.
Oh my gosh! It was ingrained in me as a child. Is it brought to you?
Brought to you by viewers. I don't know. Whatever it is, go Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatie Show. All right. How about a little Bob O'Clock news? This is the Bob O'Clock news. 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 So what I have here is 5 articles. I'm going to tell you the title, and I'll just let you pick one. Okay? So number 1, over 70 snakes found in toilet tank in India.
Oh my gosh.
Number 2, 66-year-old love letter found in a bottle on a Polish beach. Number 3, Tom Brady booed at the Indy 500. I just threw that in there because I thought it was funny. Number 4, which this one I'm not too sure because I don't really know. I think this one might be made up. AI robot fired for spreading office gossip. And number 5, restaurant introduces invisible food menu. In New York, that's $50 a plate.
That one.
All right, that one. Okay, there's not a ton of information, but basically this is the gist. A New York restaurant took minimalism to a new level by offering an invisible food menu, charging patrons $50 for plates of air. Surprisingly, some diners paid for the experience, describing it as a spiritual journey. This particular offering became a highlight in weird news.
Ridiculous.
Demonstrating the power of marketing and human curiosity. So let me get this right. They were in there playing Hook, right? Like that's what they were trying to do? Like that scene from Hook?
Even the kids, when they play restaurant and they're pretending, they use like
real
stuff you can see.
Yeah, and touch.
What? So you mean grown people are going in there having a like a make-believe picnic?
We're in a free fall.
For real.
As a society. We've got to like change some things. $50! $50, Katie.
I hope they were nice plates.
$50.
I hope the ambiance was lovely, and then I hope they found something to eat later that night because I'm sure they was still hungry.
They burn like bacon candles or something.
I have so many questions right now.
That's unbelievable. Like 50.
What are you paying for? What are you paying for?
Do you think it's invisible drinks too, or do you think they have the real drinks? Do you think it's drunk people just pretending to eat food? Like, kind of like, have you seen those, like, silent dances where, like, everybody wears headphones?
Yes.
That's freaking weird. I want to go to one so bad, but I don't want to put headphones on. I just want to sit in the corner and watch. Like, that must is insane. $50.
No, okay, so that is funny. That's a funny idea, and it's cute, and I would totally do it. But invisible $50 food. I hope they had some invisible money to pay with. Be like, here's my invisible money for your invisible food.
This
like,
is why we got soft hands.
This game works.
This is why we got soft hands as a society. That is the one reason we have soft hands.
Do you think the Lord is just looking down, shaking his head, just ain't that cute? Look at them.
No, he knew it was coming.
Pretend.
Yeah, he knew it was coming. People think, like, everybody has this misconception in my eyes that when you get older, you're supposed to grow up. You know, like, you hear people say that. Why don't you grow up? Why? Why? I mean, like, I understand we got to pay bills. We got to get jobs. Like, we have to help society move forward.
Do you feel like it's all a big facade, though?
Oh,
do you feel like every adult is pretty much walking around pretending like we're supposed, like, somebody's got to be the responsible one? And I think some of us just pull it off way better than others.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But we all want to do fun things. We don't want to grow up. Like, obviously, there are people that just are not fun people, right? Like, that's a thing. There's people that wake up angry. Like, there's people that wake up and they're just like, I just want to go to work. Like, I know that exists. But for the most part, all of us are like, hey, I want to go hit a golf ball this weekend. So I'm going to work so I can pay my bills so that I can go play. Like, we don't want to grow up. But this is extreme. Like, to go pretend to eat?
I mean,
Not with your kids.
If that's what you want to do, that's fine. And it could be a fun experience. But I don't understand the whole paying $50.
$50.
For a plate of nothing.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, I'd have to draw a lot. If somebody was like, hey, do you want to come in this pretend restaurant and eat invisible food? I'd be like, okay, let's try it. You know, maybe it'll be fun. But if they were like, it'll cost you $50, I'd be like, oh, okay, y'all go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Like, I mean, I could name ridiculous things to spend $50 on that would be better than a plate of invisible, non-real food.
It's not, you're paying for nothing.
Nothing.
Listen, I have questions. Like, what else is there to the whole experience? Because there's got to be more to it than...
Do you think it's like white water rafting? Like, people do it and then they're embarrassed because they spent so much money on it. And they're like, oh, yeah, it was great.
I think there's people that really enjoy whitewater rafting.
Oh, yeah. But, like, if you, there's 100 people that go whitewater rafting, 15 of them enjoy it. The other 85% are like, oh, my God, my side's hurt. I'm going to drown. I'm going to die. Ah! Like, there's a lot of people that go whitewater rafting. And when it's over, they're like, I can't be honest about this. I spent way too much money for this trip to tell people, like, I was scared.
That's hard for me to judge because I don't really have a desire to do that.
I know. I've got one example of that for my own life. I used to go to Carowinds every summer with my uncle, and I remember I wanted to ride the Wayne's World roller coaster because I loved Wayne's World. I was like, let's go. Let's do this. It's so much fun. I was so excited about that one roller coaster. Well, that was like one of the only wooden roller coasters in the park.
Oh, goodness.
And do you know what that means?
Ooh, that's a rough ride.
Dude, we were on that roller coaster and just getting yanked side to side. Like, it wasn't scary. It just hurt. Like, my sides hurt from being on that roller coaster.
I don't remember. It may have been at Busch Gardens. It's very vague. I was in, like, high school, so that was a little years ago.
Yeah.
There was a wooden roller coaster. It was either Carowinds or Busch Gardens. I think Busch Gardens. But it was a double roller coaster, and it was, like, a mirror of each other. Like, there were two sides. Uh-huh. And one way, you face forward.
That's called Thunder Roads.
The other one was backwards.
That's at Carowinds. So that,
and it was wooden. And
that one's, yeah, but that one's kind of like an oval shaped. That basically focuses on going up and down.
Yeah, there was nothing upside down. It was.
Well, now, Wayne's World wasn't upside down either, but it took a lot of turns.
Yeah.
And the turns is what hurt. Like, not the up and down part. Did you ever do Thunder Roads backwards?
Yes.
That, you know what?
I think I rode it forwards first.
Forwards
and
is
then
more
immediately
scary.
Got off. And was like, okay, well, let's do it backwards.
Really?
That was a weird experience.
Oh, you're braver than I am. If I would have rode it frontwards, I would have been like, I'm not getting on it backwards. But yeah, it turned out the backwards was less scary for me than forwards because I couldn't see the big drop coming.
Yeah.
I don't like the drop. Like, I'm not into that. I like going to roller coasters. I like being on roller coasters. I don't like the drops. The drops are not fun for me.
Whenever I was younger, I loved roller coasters. It's been a lot of years since I've ridden a roller coaster, and I think I might not enjoy it the same now. I'm not sure.
When you take the kids on a roller coaster.
You know, just yesterday, I made the kids sit down with me. They hated it. Oh, they hated every minute of it. Summer's coming up, and like I feel like I need a plan. I feel like I need a plan. Summer is a really hard shift for us from, you know, late summer, you know, going into fall, like we have sports and school, and then all through the school year, our kids are playing one sport right after the other, or at least they have been the past few years, and going to school. So, you know, like recently it's been, we have something every day, we have something every night, sometimes on the weekends too, and we've just been busy, 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 and then summertime comes around, and it's just, everything comes to a screeching halt. And like I try to make sure, the past few years, I've tried to make sure the kids do some kind of like camp, at least one thing like that over the summer. They do VBS at church, and you know, they hang out with friends and stuff. But for the most part, we don't have just daily stuff going on. Like I'm just here, they're here, we're just doing whatever. So it's a really hard adjustment. It's like, I need a plan. So first of all, food. Okay. During the school year, they eat breakfast and lunch at school.
You don't have to worry about
it. They pack their lunches. I have stuff here for their lunches, but I mean, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes, you know, they bring the stuff back home, and I don't really, you know, it's hit or miss. And I'm
you
like,
you should have days during the summer where you do that. Like, get up and pack your lunch. That way, when it's lunchtime, they just get their lunchbox out.
Like during the summertime, I have to make sure that I'm stocked up on.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, for breakfast, lunch,
yeah, and it starts dinner. In 3 days.
But the kids are so picky, and it's, you know, constantly between the three of them, I don't like this, I don't want to eat this, I'm not eating that. So I made them sit down with me. We made a list of breakfast things. I said, y'all tell me what you would like to have for breakfast over summer. We're going to make a list. So whenever I meal plan, because I like to print out this thing and like write it, it's just easier for me to have a visual. I was like, whenever I meal plan for the week, I want to be able to look at this list and be able to write stuff from this list, so that way I don't have to hear you guys say, I don't like this. I will have stuff here that you all said that you liked, so that when it comes breakfast time, it's not an issue. We just eat it. Imagine that.
Yeah.
That seems wonderful. And then the same thing with lunch. I had two
separate sheets. It's not going to be as easy as you think.
Cute lists that I printed out. I know. Look, okay. No matter how much I plan and have schedules and things like that going into summer, usually by midsummer it's all gone sideways and we're just counting down the days till school starts again. But you know, I have to, how's that saying, go and put hope for the best but plan for the worst, or whatever. That's kind of my mindset for summer. Is like, all right, I got these kids for 3 months, I gotta feed them, I gotta entertain them, I have to referee them, what are we gonna do? But we discussed meals, we discussed schedule, and we sat down and we planned pretty much a rough daily schedule, just like, hey, we're going to have breakfast around this time, we'll have lunch around this time, dinner around this time.
Yeah.
In between, you know, I told them, I was like, I want to make sure that every day you have some kind of exercise activity.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be the same thing. It's not, I'm not going to make you like lift weights every day, just, hey, we could do yoga together or something. We could go
something other than sitting on the couch and playing on a phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because left to their own devices, they will be on their own devices all day.
Well, like, the one thing that we're going to do differently this year,
I just want their lives to be enriched beyond looking at a screen in front of their face for the next 3 months. And I'm not against it. So, to me, our kids work really hard. They work hard at school. They work hard at sports. So summertime, hey, relax, enjoy it. But that doesn't mean we have to just rot away completely.
I was saying, one thing that we're going to do different this year that we haven't really done in the past is when baseball season ends, we kind of like, all right, baseball season's over. Let's ramp up and start working on whatever's coming next. We're going to keep playing baseball because that's how you get better. Like we're gonna play catch every day, like we're gonna work on stuff. So I mean, they're gonna get exercise. It's gonna be good, and they didn't do it. But you know what? Riley came to me yesterday morning before I went to work, and he's like, hey, where are our gloves at? And I go, well, they're put up. I said, you want me to get them out for you? And he's like, yeah, I think me and Reese are going to go play catch today.
Oh.
So, like, he's wanting to go play catch, like, you know, just them two, like, playing catch. So, I'm really looking forward to it. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good summer. And they're going to get plenty of stuff. All right, before we close it out, we've got one more little segment we need to do that I'm really, really excited about. Because the cool thing about you and I is a lot of times we look at things slightly different. Slightly different. And this is one of those times where we get to play with that and experience it. So this is a new little thing we're going to be doing. We've done something like this in the past that I like to call What Would Bob and Katie Do? So we had some listeners email in, and you guys can do this, the Bob and Katie Show at gmail.com. Please put your name and where you're from. So the first one is Tasha from Wilmington, North Carolina, so pretty close, has a question. I accidentally liked a 4-year-old Instagram photo of my ex's my ex's new wife while looking through her pictures. Should I pack my things up and move to a new city or just pretend like it never happened? Can you, like,
just...
That's cringeworthy.
Oh, Tasha, I'm so sorry that happened.
Okay, Katie.
That's rough.
What do you do in this situation?
Okay.
I know what I do.
Internally, I would run away screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I would go undercover. Like, I would need to contact the FBI, be like, I need to go into the witness protection program. Can you please let me in? Relocate me. Give me a new name, a new identity. Let me just start over, because that's rough. But I think in reality, after taking several very deep breaths, would just put my big girl panties on and yet just, okay, all right, that happened. And we're going to move on with life and hope that it never, ever comes up in conversation, and hope that we don't run into her at the grocery store.
So same thing for me. If this happens to me, I immediately just unlike it, right? Just go ahead and click it again. That way, if something pops up on their phone, it'll not be there almost instantaneously, and it just might confuse them. You know, who knows? But I think we need to...
I say just own it. It's better to just own it.
I think we need to... Well, it was an accidental like. Like, they were probably scrolling and hit the button by accident.
Gotcha.
But I think we need to address something else here. Tasha, you shouldn't be looking at your ex's wife's pictures from 4 years ago. You got to let this go. We got to move on. Go do something fun. Go throw some axes. Go. There's a new room in Wilmington. She's in Wilmington. There's a new business in Wilmington where you can go into a room and just, like, smash things. And there's, like, a splatter room. Like, there's all kinds of stuff right now. So you got
a rage room.
Yeah, you got some stuff to work out. Let's, you know, like, I don't know what the context is.
Maybe she's not angry. Maybe she was just curious. Maybe his new wife is beautiful and living her best life. And she's like, you know what?
I'm going to kill her.
Inspired. I don't know.
But yeah, let's I don't know, make sure that if you're looking at stuff like that, let's make sure it's for the right reason. Don't bring any kind of hurt on yourself intentionally. Just move on. All right. This one I picked. I got 10 here, but I only picked a couple to go over. This one I picked because I thought that maybe you might have a little insight into handle a husband like this. This is from Ashley in Morganton, West Virginia. My husband won't stop using medieval sounding phrases he picked up from a video game. Yesterday he said, let us make haste to Costco, fair maiden. I'm one verily away from losing it. What do I do?
Oh,
I know that you have to deal with stuff like this.
It starts out like it's cute and it's funny. And you're like, oh, okay. Chuckle, chuckle.
Oh, when he does it. Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, after a while, you're like, okay. Okay, I see you. I see what you're doing here. And then it's like, okay, all right, it's not funny anymore. And I feel like Ashley has reached that place. And Ashley, unfortunately, I don't have the answer for you because I'm still working on that. Not medieval phrases. My husband is more like he repeats jokes.
Yeah. I watch the same videos over and over again.
He says the same jokes and like, what? Not even a laugh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a question I ask.
Like, well, 20 times ago, you know, it just became not as funny anymore.
Oh, man. Like, I know, like, one example for me is...
I'm going to say a prayer for you, Ashley.
I deep dove into that show Alone, and then all of a sudden I was like, I want to go be an outdoors person. And I'm not an outdoors person at all.
To the point.
Okay. You going to tell them? Go ahead. It's fine. Hey, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm not weird. I know I'm weird. I get it. And I know a lot of the things I do are not logical.
What kind of surgery did he have?
Oh,
he had surgery.
He had hip surgery.
And
I didn't know you were going to like try to embarrass me. I know what you're. Go ahead.
And you had been watching this show. Yep. And you had been buying supplies like you were stocking up for some journey.
No, it wasn't that bad. I bought like a, I don't even know what it's called. The little fire stick.
There were knives.
I do like knives. I have a lot of knives. Flashlights.
Flashlights.
Yeah.
And when your dad had surgery, you were like, I need to go take care of him. I need to go over there.
Well, I was going to... They asked me to come stay with them.
Your parents have 3 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And a couch. You were like, I need to camp out.
I was going to sleep outside.
In their backyard. Yep. And I'm going to take my fire stick and make fire. And I'm going to camp out my parents. Backyard, yeah. And I was like, why don't you just sleep on the couch?
38 like, years old. I'm like, I'm going to camp out.
You're like, nope, house. Nope. I'm going to camp out.
100%.
Did you sleep out there one night?
No, I don't think so. I don't think. I think I got there and I was like, nah.
Have you been camping since?
No, not at all.
All right.
Sometimes I grab the little fire stick and I just scrape it just to watch the sparks, but I've never really done anything with it. I did save a bag of dryer lint. I have that because that's great to start fires with, you know? No, and if something ever happens and like the world goes into chaos, and then you guys don't have a good husband for that. Like that.
You have your fire stick and some lint, though. We'll be able to light at least one fire.
Yeah. All right. This is from Marcus, Salt Lake City. My 8-year-old keeps pretending to be a ghost and haunting my Zoom meetings. I truly love his creativity, and I love him, but he recently frustrated my boss so bad that she closed her laptop in the middle of a meeting. How do I discipline the ghost child?
Oh, that's tough, Marcus. Oh.
I don't really think that we can give him an answer, because every child is different.
How old is it? 8?
8 years old.
Okay, but 8 years old... But 8 years old, we have a kid who's literally turning 8 in 2 days. So I'm not going to say I'm an expert on 8-year-olds, but I just had 2 of them that were 8 a few years ago, and I'm about to have another one. At 8 years old, I'm sorry, they should know, okay, especially after like being warned and told and explained, hey, this is work. Okay, that was cute. That was funny. We can't do that again, though, because this is work. You're going to have to go haunt somewhere else. I don't know. You're going to have to get creative to inspire them to go haunt somewhere else.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going. Yeah, you got to be creative.
You can't
tell them.
You have to be gentle. You have to be gentle because you don't want to squash their creativity. You don't want to pop that bubble. You want to, you know, like when you blow a bubble and you want it to last as long as possible. You know what's going to pop. But you're like, look how long it's floating. So, like, I feel like when children are doing something really creative like that, like, you want to let that bubble float as long as possible. But they do need guidance. And that's it. They have to understand boundaries because, I mean, the end game here is raising, you know, grown adults who are decent citizens and know right from wrong and things like that. So I think you got to do it gently.
I think you tell them, but that's not what's going to work. Because, and I say that because I have a 10-year-old. You're
like, this room is thoroughly haunted. You have to haunt a new space.
You got to, you got to be more creative. Because I've, like I said, I've got a 10-year-old. We got a 10-year-old, and you know, an 8-year-old. And every night
with two 10-year-olds.
And we, but the two boys is who I'm talking about. We tell them, hey, go brush your teeth without fighting. Like bedtime, we brush our teeth. Like, don't get in each other's way. Just go brush your teeth. And every night, it's a thing. And we've told them over and over and over again. So just telling them, it's not going to be that easy. But it sounds, Marcus, like you're the type of person that'll go to the beach without going to the store first. Like, you have to plan these things out. You've got to have, you know, you got to have snacks when you go to the beach. You got to have drinks. You got to be prepared to be at the beach. So if you know you've got this Zoom meeting coming, you should have something planned out that's going to keep the kid mm-hmm. occupied during that time. If you don't, your Zoom meeting is going to get haunted. It's going to get haunted. That sure. kid doesn't understand that you could get fired, that you could lose your job, lose your house. Like, the kid doesn't understand that. You have to guide them through it. You have to let them know, hey, like, I'm getting ready to have a meeting, and it's very, very important that it doesn't get interrupted. So you got to make sure that, you know, you do this task, and then you give them something to do, something that'll occupy them.
Go put on some spooky haunting music in a room yeah. that's far away.
Yeah.
And let them just haunt their little heart out or something. Yeah, I agree. You got to, because sometimes it's not as easy as just telling a kid, okay, you can't do this. Kind of like when you're on a diet. It's like, okay, you can't eat this. But then it's like, okay, well, what do you eat?
Right.
So it's like, okay, you can't be in here. But it's like, okay, well, where can I be? What can I do?
Yeah.
You got to set them boundaries and make clear boundaries. That's what, clear boundaries.
Be productive.
And they're gonna push them still.
Be productive. Make sure you have a plan. That's how you handle that situation. And then it's not going to work.
But I do encourage, haunt it out, baby. Haunt it out in a different room.
Do your thing. All right, two more real quick. Lori from Indiana. I'm terrible. Boise, Indiana, yeah. So this one, this is another one I picked.
Boise, that's Idaho, I think, right?
Oh my gosh, Idaho.
Indiana is IN, I think.
Okay.
I get confused about the I'm them abbreviations geography. Too.
All right, my husband
eats. Ours is real easy, NC. We got two words, North and Carolina. So you just, I mean, it's initials, baby. Yeah. We know this. Like, we know initials. But when you start making initials out of one word, that's when it gets confusing. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
All right. My husband started eating raw hot dogs from the refrigerator. I can't look at him the same. Is this grounds for divorce? Or should I just have a strong talking to him? Thoughts?
I used to do that whenever I was real little. I remember, I have memories.
Eating raw hot dogs?
I remember going to the refrigerator and like sneaking out a raw hot dog every once in a while. And now the thought totally grosses me out.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't gross me out. I could eat a raw hot dog.
No, yeah. The thought is like, it gives me like chills. Like, ugh, it's gross.
So apparently it's affecting her. In a big bad way, because she's like, should I divorce this dude or just like talk to him?
Has she? I would definitely try talking to him first. Be like, look, if you absolutely must do this, you got to do it whenever I'm out of the house. I can't see it, hear it, smell it. I don't know. I don't need to be any part of it because it's not okay.
I feel a little differently.
Maybe, I mean, he might have strong feelings about it. He might be like, I love eating raw hot dogs straight out the fridge, and you just gonna have to deal. But he might be like, oh, all right, that's not a thing.
If it's a health thing, right? Like, if he's eating, like, a pack of raw hot dogs a day, that could be problematic.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Is it really healthy to eat raw hot dogs in any quantity?
I don't think it's healthy to eat hot dogs cooked or raw in any quantity. Yeah. But I mean, like, as long as, like, if it's like, oh, I'll eat a raw hot dog randomly, I'm sorry. Lori, but you just need to let that go. Like, he's not causing any problems. Like, let him eat his hot dog. But, well, if he starts to eat a hot dog, gross you out, turn around. Go to a different room.
Well, see, what you don't understand, though, is some people... I forgot the term. Like, some people are grossed out by, like, to a different degree than the average person by, like, someone eating or drinking.
It's a hot dog.
But still, if it's that bad, if it grosses her out that bad, she should at least let him be aware.
I guess, yeah, talk to him. I think if you tell him not to do it, if it's not a health issue,
no, I'm and not you tell him not to do it, tell you're in the wrong. Another grown adult what to do.
Yeah.
But you can express that what another grown adult does in your proximity is bothering you.
Yeah. Be honest about it. Hey, look, when you do this, it really grosses me out. I don't want you to stop, but can you give me a heads up? Let me know when I should go outside and read a book or something. If you're going to eat this hot dog, just don't do it in front of me. And you know what? That's very respectful, like being super honest, be nice about it. And it might give him a self-conscious issue. And he might be like, I'm not going to eat hot dogs anymore. Like, people are looking at me weird. So it might work itself out if you're honest. So maybe go that route. But if you tell him not to, I think you're wrong.
Yeah, you can't tell somebody what to do.
All right, last one. This is from Amanda in Phoenix. I thought you might like this one. I've been hiding in my car in the driveway 20 minutes every evening before going inside just to get a moment of peace. I don't know what my kids think I'm doing. Am I a terrible parent or am I just resourceful?
Heck no, that's survival, baby. That's...
I thought you would like this one.
You do what you got to do.
I know, like, I don't know. She didn't say, like, coming home from work.
It don't matter.
Like, she just walks out and sits in her car.
It don't matter.
You might need that. That might be a thing you need.
Take that 20. Take 30 if you need it.
Because I know, like, for me and you, a big difference in our lives is that I drive. So, like, I have a chunk of my day where I'm just in my car by myself and I listen to a podcast or whatever. You drive 5-6 minutes down the road and then you come back. So, like, you don't have that big moment. And even though the kids are in school, you spend a lot of your time at school.
Yeah.
So, I figured you would be like, yeah. Yeah, go for it. Go sit in the car for 20 minutes. Whatever. You got to have you time. You got to have you time. So, Amanda, don't worry about it. And I think if the kids ask you what you're doing, you tell them, it's Amanda time. It's mommy time. This is mommy time. Go eat a hot dog or haunt something. Like, leave me alone. Give me 20 minutes. Thanks for sitting down, talking with me. Had a blast. I appreciate you. Lots of people appreciate you. Looking real pretty today. All right, everybody, that's it. Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatieShow. And I'm going to work real diligently. This is the first time I'm saying it out loud publicly to have these come out on Wednesdays. So hopefully we can make these a Wednesday thing. There was a study done in like Harvard or something like that that basically was like, oh, the middle of the week, that's when people need like a little bit of escape.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to put them out on Wednesday to give you guys just a break from reality. So there we go. Find your laugh.
Find your happy.
You've been listening to the Bob and Katie Show, a Crabcast Studio production. Edited and produced by my dad, Bob. Executive produced by my mom, Katie. Support the show by going to patreon.com/TheBobAndKatieShow. Don't forget to subscribe.
And smash that like button.